A very good morning to all of you. And we thank God that we can worship the Lord together. This morning I will talk about Jesus received yet rejected. As you know, the last time I preached about concerning the Lord Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead. And as a result, many of them came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we will continue from there on what the account tells us here. Now in John chapter 12, gives us an account of the reaction of the people towards the Lord Jesus Christ. In this chapter, he is seemingly received by the people and yet rejected. Seemingly believe but actually disbelief. Seemingly honored but actually being searched by enemies with the intent to kill him. This paradox is exhibited by the Jews in Judea, yet not every one of them, because there were some who really loved him. Among those who really loved him were his friends at Bethany. In Bethany, we have Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and also Simon the leper. They were his friends. And it was in the house of Simon the dinner was held. We need to be aware of what took place between the resurrection of Lazarus and the dinner at the home of Simon. First, let me talk about the resurrection of Lazarus. The resurrection of Lazarus make the religious leader very nervous. This resurrection was the resurrection of a decayed corpse. It was a very good piece of evidence to prove the Messiahship of the Lord Jesus Christ. John described the Pharisees' reaction, especially in John chapter 11, verse 47 and 48. In verse 47, John says, "Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council, and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our praise and nation." This dilemma seems impossible to solve. They did not know where to find a solution. And so they called for a meeting of the Sanhedrin. What is the Sanhedrin? The Sanhedrin is a council which composed of 71 members, which the high priest presiding over the 70 religious leaders. So it's a council. The majority of the Sanhedrin council being the Sadducees and the Pharisees were the minority. Then you ask, what is the difference between the Sadducees and the Pharisees? All right. The Pharisees did not believe in the miracles. They did not believe in the miracles. They did not believe in the resurrection under any circumstances. And the high priest was a Sadducee. And as a Sadducee, he co-labored with the Romans. So we can say that the Sadducees is like the Liberal Party today. They are modernists. The Pharisees believe the scripture plus the traditions. And so we can say that they are the conservative in the modern sense. The Sadducees was a powerful religious council governing the religious and the political affairs of the Jews. Now, what was their problem at this time? Many of the Jews had been at Mary's house, had witnessed the resurrection of Lazarus by Jesus, had believed him to be the Messiah. This is the main problem. And in John chapter 11, verse 47, the Pharisees said, What are we going to do? There are many people came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For this man doeth many miracles. Many of them knew about Jesus. The council feared if they were to permit Jesus to go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Roman will come and take away both our praise and nation. Verse 48. That's what Peter said. That is, if all the Jewish people were to hail Jesus as the Messiah King, the religious leader fear the Roman would take away their limited privileges of self-rule. And that is what the leader called it, our place, our positions. The phrase our place could be an expression of the political positions as well as the temple, which is the center of their religious life. So they were afraid of such things. They were afraid the Roman might think Jesus had instigated an uprising in Israel. So their immediate imagination ran wild in this case. Therefore, the religious leader were not going to let Jesus mess up their power structure. What was the reason? The common people gave this leader their loyalty, give them their respect and allegiance. And so if the people were to follow the Messiah, the leader could lose their control. This was their fear, and they had no idea what to do. The high priest spoke to the Sanhedrin, to the religious leader, and he offered his solution to the problem. And his offer is found in verse 50. He says, "It is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not." Alright? So that was his suggestion. In other words, his words clearly indicate that he was convinced that Jesus should be killed in order to save the nation of Israel from Roman destruction. Why did he think that way? He thought that the Roman will regard it as an uprising or a revolution. So they were afraid of such thing may happen. Now, John chapter 11, verse 54 to 57, we read that Jesus and his disciples aware of the plot, and they retreated to a region near the desert to a village called Ephraim. Near Bethel is of Jordan. So Jesus knew, and they went to an isolated place. Jesus remained there until the time of the Passover celebration. And the celebration was held in AD 30, the year of his death. Though the Jewish people were preparing themselves for the Passover, but their thoughts were not on the Passover, but on Jesus. Everyone knew the intention of the chief priests and the Pharisees to arrest Jesus. They were told, the people were told to report to the Sanhedrin if they knew where his whereabout. So these are all information given to the people, and the people are being informed to make a report if they see where the Lord Jesus, if they knew where the Lord Jesus Christ was. This was the setting for Jesus enter into Jerusalem at this time, especially the triumphant entry when Jesus entered into the Jerusalem the last time. But before this triumphant entry into Jerusalem, he would stop by Bethany to visit his friend. Who were his friend? Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. These were his friend. Now we come to chapter 12. All right, now we come to chapter 12. Chapter 12 reveals the end of the story of... Chapter 12 serves to end the end of the public ministry of Christ and introduce the story leading to his death. So it's a new section here. Knowing what lay before him, the cruel death on the cross, Jesus longed for human fellowship with those whom he loved. And so he visited his friends at Bethany. And his friends at Bethany were the people that I have mentioned, four of them, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and Simon. Another one is Simon. His friend at Bethany had planned a wonderful supper for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 6 tells us that the dinner was held in the home of Simon, the leper whom Jesus had healed. He also lived in Bethany. So in great appreciation, Simon the leper prepared a dinner party for the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciple Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So at least there were 17 people at the party. Just before the evening ended, some interesting attitude and action were displayed. Simon hosts the party. Martha served. Mary worshiped. Lazarus fellowship. The 11 disciples, what did they do? Grumble. And Judas find fault. So this is the scenario here. Let's talk about Martha. At this time, Martha served, not like before, grudgingly. Here, she cooked and served a small group of people without a word of complaint. Circumstances had not changed. But what had changed? She had changed. She had changed. Perhaps she had learned what the Lord had said on the early occasion. Jesus did not say she was supposed to become like Mary, sitting at his feet, listen to his word. Jesus did not say that to Martha. That is good if it is so, because if she had, most probably, the people at the party had nothing to eat. Someone must cook, and so they can have a party. So Mary is important in this regard. Martha understood that Mary insisted. Martha understood that Jesus insisted that Mary had chosen the good portion. Did not mean that serving in the kitchen and at the table was bad. It doesn't mean that at all. So those who serve in the kitchen, please take note of that. It's good. It's nothing wrong. She understood that Mary was saying, she understood that Jesus was saying that her complaint, depressed, unhappy attitude was separating her from him. That was a complaint. Jesus knew that service is a form of worship. If it's done with the right attitude. Now, she served with a cheerful spirit as to the Lord. Many of us are very familiar with Romans chapter 12, verse 1, right? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Here the Apostle Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There Paul tells us to present our bodies, our entire bodies, our talent, everything that we have, as a living sacrifice. That is worship. Sacrifice is a worship. Martha understood that true worship also involves service. Preparing a meal can be a form of worship. Serving as an usher, standing at the door, can be a form of worship. And that's very important. Serve with a cheerful spirit. Playing the piano and the organ can also be a form of worship. When you play the piano, play the organ, it's not just playing the hymn. You are praying in a worshipful way, in a spiritual way, to lead the congregation to sing. So it's in a lot of things involved. It's not easy to be a pianist and organist. Perhaps it is good for us to examine our attitudes behind our service for the Lord. May it always be with gladness and joy. Now we come to Lazarus. Lazarus sat with Jesus. And it is amazing that we do not have one recorded word of Lazarus. Did the disciple ask him about his experience of being absent from the body? Surely someone would like to know more about his experience. If I'm at a party, I will ask also, right? We want to know what happened when you leave this world. We want to know the experience, but nothing is mentioned here in the scripture. He's present for what? For what? His presence is a testimony. It's a testimony to God's power and to Jesus' claim as a Messiah. He did not need to say anything. When he sit there, people look at him. They all know what happened to him and how he became alive. The people know. So as a testimony of the power of God and Jesus' claim as the Messiah. Now we come to Mary. The gift of Mary. Sometimes during the meal, Mary came and bowed at the feet of Jesus in adoration and worship. The devotion of Mary is seen in three memorable scenes. In each of these scenes, she is found to be at Jesus' feet. In Luke chapter 10, she is seated near Jesus' feet, listening to his words. In John chapter 11, she is seen falling at his feet, seeking sympathy, telling Jesus, "If you were here, my brother would not die." All right, you remember that? And here, she is anointing his feet to express her devotion and love. On the first occasion, Mary was contrasted with her sister Martha, who was distracted about much serving. Luke chapter 10, verse 40. But here, she is contrasted with Judas, whose motive was deception and trivialry. So there's a contrast here. On this occasion, Mary, as an expression of her love and devotion to Jesus, took out a very, very costly perfume, broke the seal, and poured the entire content on Jesus' feet. Not half, not one quarter, not three quarter, pour all. How much do you pour when you use a perfume? Just a little bit only, right? Just a little bit. That's costly, you know, a little bit means a lot of money. But she poured everything on Jesus' feet. This perfume was of the highest quality, the best of all. And it was very, very expensive. To buy this, it costs about 300 pence and is equivalent to 1 year's salary, 1 year's wages. This kind of perfume was often used to anoint kings. So Mary may have been anointing Jesus as a king. After pouring the costly perfume on Jesus' feet, Mary began to wipe off the excess with her hair. She was totally oblivious of those presents at the dinner. She just concentrated on doing that. In her adoration and her preoccupation with his impending death, she saw the impending death of Jesus. It might happen at any time. According to Matthew and Mark, all the disciples were offended by Mary's extravagant waste of this expensive ointment. All right, Matthew and Mark tells us so. Matthew 26, Mark chapter 14 tells us that the disciples regard this as a waste. Why spend so much money on this? John, the Gospel of John says, it was one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who said, "Why was not this perfume sold and the money given to the poor?" Oh, it sounds very good, right? Very nice. This perfume was very costly, and therefore Judas said that. Judas did not say this because he cared about the poor. Not because of that, but because he was a thief and really had no compassion for the poor. John chapter 12, verse 6 tells us that. Was it really a waste? If you were present at the party, what would you think? Is it a waste to pour the whole thing on the feet of Jesus? Half a bottle will do. Why all? Now, chapter 12, verse 7. Jesus defended Mary's action. He said, this ointment was not waste. In John chapter 12, verse 7 and 8, I read to you. See what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing had she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. What can we learn from Mary's action? Let us think of this very expensive perfume poured on Jesus' feet. Why pour the entire content? Why? Do you know why? Because she had already planned to give all to the Lord Jesus Christ. This was her plan when she came to the Lord Jesus Christ and gave her all to him. Judas could not accept it. But Jesus did not reject it or rebuke Mary for doing so. So whenever we lavish love upon Jesus, we must give our all to him. And he will not reject it, he will receive it. Mary gave her most treasured possession to Jesus. Though our treasured possession may not be of that much worth as Mary, yet we should still give. That was true for Martha. Martha gave her best. She knew how to cook, and that was her best. And she gave it to the Lord Jesus Christ. She prepared the best meal for the party. Now we talk about Martha's gift. Martha valued work acts of service. Her service to Jesus was a labor of love and of service. It was just as noble and valuable as Mary's service. It's the same. What would we give to Jesus? Mary gave her best to Jesus. She gave the most expensive perfume to Jesus. She broke the container and poured all the perfume at Jesus' feet. She bent over Jesus' feet and wiped the perfume away with her hand. And when she arose and went about serving, what happened? She spread the aroma all over the place. Every place she went, people would smell the sweet-smelling aroma. This gift of Jesus, this aroma that permeated throughout the whole house, in turn also spread to others. Conclusion, Mary was serving with all he had. And that is her cooking talent. She prepared her signature dishes. All those things she's best at. She prepared and served the people at the party. Mary was pouring out all she had before Jesus in honor, love, and selfless worship. Lazarus was there as a star witness of new life in Christ, a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, for people to see the power of God and Jesus Christ indeed is the Messiah. Now, what have we gave to Jesus? You are a believer in Christ. I am a believer in Christ. We are all like Mary, Martha, Lazarus, and Simon. They have given their all. How about you? My friend, it is the Lord's desire that we give our best to the Master. In whatever thing that you can do, those who know how to play piano, play organist, do your best. Usher, do your best. Serve with a cheerful spirit. Smile when you give things. The pamphlet to people. Greet the worshipper when they come in. That makes a great difference. You know that? Serve the kitchen, the same thing. Serve with cheerfulness. And those who eat, eat with thanksgiving. Thank God for all of them. Without them, we have nothing to eat. The Lord has given us talent, gifts, not only for our own benefit, but also to serve Him. So you and I, let us do our best, give our best to the Master. So in closing, we will sing a hymn.